Let us open our Bibles to the Old Testament, to the first book of the Bible, the book Genesis, chapter 33, and we will read the entire chapter. Genesis, chapter 33, which tells us of the meeting between Jacob and Esau. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them, and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him, and embraced him, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children, and said, Who are those with thee? And he said, The children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, What meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand, for therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto him, My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir. And Esau said, Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me. And he said, What needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and built him a house, and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he brought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El-Oha-Israel. Thus far the reading of Holy Scripture. If you open your Bible, I will direct you to the text for this Thanksgiving service. It's taken from Genesis 33. Genesis 33, two phrases, one in verse 9 and one in verse 11. In verse 9, And Esau said, I have enough. And verse 11, the last part, where Jacob says, God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. Dear congregation of Dundas, there are many times in which we reflect back. We do that at the end of a year, when we look back over how the year has gone, and we do that on an occasion as an anniversary, or at other times too, when perhaps because of a diagnosis of a disease, we think back. Sometimes we've experienced losses in our families or business. Yes, there are different times of life in which we look back and reflect back on how it's been, and Thanksgiving is also a time to look back and to reflect back on what the Lord has given us. And sometimes we think that if the Lord has given us much, then there is many reasons for thanksgiving, and if the Lord has given us less, well, then there is less reason for thanksgiving. But the Bible tells us that grace makes us thankful no matter what the circumstances, for thankfulness does not depend upon our circumstances. It doesn't depend on the gifts. It depends on the God of the circumstances and on the giver himself. And do we have him? And that's how we are called today, to reflect on whether we have little or lots. And maybe if we have little, or maybe if we have lots, we still miss the one thing needful. Or can we say, no, I don't have little, I don't have lots, but I have everything. That's how we wish to listen to reflections on our portion. That's what you can write over this sermon. Reflections on our portion. We'll see two things. Esau has lots. And secondly, Jacob has everything. Reflections on our portion. Esau has lots and Jacob has everything. Yes, it's been some 20 years since Esau and Jacob as twin brothers have seen each other. 20 years, that's a long time. And during 20 years, a lot can change. Maybe you've experienced that after many years. You've had a class reunion, maybe, or some older ones who went back to the Netherlands after so many years away, and you found as you returned that a lot has changed. And we see that here in Genesis 33, too. A lot has changed as these two brothers meet each other again in this reunion and reconciliation. Jacob comes from Peniel. There he has wrestled with God, and he's been humbled, and he's become honest, but he's received grace. He could not let the Lord go except he bless him. And the Lord has blessed him. The Lord has also touched his hip, and now he must limp through life. But the time has come for him to meet Esau. Esau is waiting for him. How will the meeting go? Sometimes we look up against such a meeting. Maybe we've done something terrible against our father or mother, or against a brother or a sister, or maybe against our spouse, and the time comes that we have to set things right, and we can look up against such a meeting. It can keep us busy day and night. Maybe sometimes we can't even sleep. Perhaps we've made our preparations for the meeting. We've maybe talked it over with one of our friends. Maybe we've sent an email to try and sort some things out. But we're not really looking forward to that personal meeting. There's hesitation. Something like that is also the case for Jacob. Maybe worse. It's true, he has tried to do everything to pacify his offended brother. He has sent a total of some 550 animals in five groups to Esau. He's tried to use diplomacy to appease his brother's anger. But now, how will the meeting go? The last time that he had seen his brother, Esau was filled with enmity towards him and wanted to kill him. And now, Jacob sees his brother Esau approaching him with an army of 400 men. And if Esau is angry with him still, how will Jacob survive? But nonetheless, Jacob can go out to meet him. Because, as Paul says in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? But a lot has changed in Jacob and in Esau. Yes, a lot has changed in Jacob. There is humility now. Jacob sees Esau approaching from the distance, and Jacob bows towards the earth. And we haven't seen that humility too often in Jacob. But here he's bowing. Maybe we had expected that. Or maybe not, because after all, the Lord has blessed him, and in that blessing which Father Isaac gave to him, then he heard those words that people would serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. But as Jacob is approaching Esau, he doesn't say to his brother, "Brother, you must bow before me. The great king is going to come from my line." No, Jacob bows humbly before Esau. He's lined up his wives and his children in a row to meet Esau, but Jacob walks around them and goes to meet Esau, bowing down to the ground. Even 7 times he bows down. Do you see it? Do you see him? Jacob, who is the greater, who is the one who's been blessed by God, is still willing to be the least. There's humility. And he's willing, in the last 2 words of verse 5, to call himself a servant to Esau. Just like the Lord Jesus, who would make himself of no reputation, Paul would write in Philippians 2, and took upon him the form of a servant. Esau also has changed. The last time we heard him, he said that he would kill his brother. But now there is no anger and there's no hatred remaining. No, Esau rushes to meet Jacob. He falls on his neck. And he kisses him. It's true. There's nothing of his anger and hatred left. The enmity is gone. He's happy to see his brother again. Does that mean that Esau has been converted? Friends, it's possible to behave differently and to come to different thoughts and to draw different conclusions and yet not be converted. Rebecca had said it already to Jacob, "Go away for a little while till your brother's fury turn away." His mother knew it already. Esau will cool off one of these days. But nonetheless, there may come peace and reconciliation between these two brothers. Jacob, who has found peace with God, he has seen the face of the Lord and his soul has been delivered. But when things are set right between you and the Lord, then also things need to be set right with your brother. That's the reason for those flocks that when Esau later says, "Yeah, why are you giving me these flocks?" After all, if Esau was not ready to be reconciled to his brother Jacob, then all those gifts would not have helped Jacob. But Jacob is asking for peace. Grace in the eyes of Esau. That's what he has found with God. And now he wants it with his brother. Yes, we need that too, don't we? Peace, first of all, vertically, with God, the one whom we have offended by our sin. Through faith, that we might be accepted in the Beloved. But then it doesn't stay there. For when we've received peace with God, then we seek peace with one another. And we meet conflict with grace. And that's how it should be. Psalm 133 says, how good and pleasant in the sight when brethren dwell in one accord. That's how it should be. That in lowliness of mind we esteem other better than ourselves. And in this reunion, dear congregation, we get to hear Jacob and Esau reflecting on their goods, on their portion. How will they speak about the way life has gone? The things they have. Let's first of all listen to Esau. And when we listen to Esau and to how Esau, you might say, celebrated Thanksgiving there in that reunion with his brother, we hear a man who is focused on his stuff. Stuff. He says in verse 9, I have enough. And then the word in the Hebrew is the word much. I have much. And that's why he says that. He doesn't need this gift of Jacob. He already has so much. And it is true, Esau does have lots. He has 400 men with him, and these men may all have a wife, and among all of them they may have more than 1,000 children. Yes, he has lots. And surprisingly, Esau seems to be content with it. And that is remarkable, isn't it? Because most often people never have enough. They always want something nicer, bigger, better, newer. They need a new car, a better phone. And we can so often say that too. I wish I had that. Or look at what he has. I wish if only I could have that. But Esau says, listen, I have much and I don't need any more. But do you see what he's looking at when he says, I have enough? He's looking at his earthly goods. He's thinking of his earthly goods. His flocks are big enough. His protection in these 400 men is good enough. He's wealthy enough. His life is fine enough. But friends, it's possible to have stuff and still to perish. That rich man in that parable the Lord Jesus told us about, the rich man and Lazarus, he had wealth. He had goods. And he thought it was a sign that surely God has blessed me. It's possible to be rich. To perish, to have goods, and to be even content with it to a certain degree, and still to go lost. You see, Esau doesn't ask, but can all these goods bring me peace with God? Will all these things help me when I have to meet my Maker? I have much, he says. That can be the language of someone who has much, as the Lord Jesus says in Luke 12, verse 21, someone who layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He's focused on stuff. Secondly, he's focused on self. Self. Esau says he has enough. But he never speaks of the one who has given these things. And it's striking because he's been taught about God. He's been taught about the Creator and the Provider by his parents. They saw to it that truth, the truth was passed on about the Sovereign God, the giver of every good and perfect gift. And all things come from God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. But Esau says nothing. Nothing about him. His parents had received the promise of God, the promise that spoke of the land of promise, the seed of promise, the God of promise, and the blessing. He turns his back on it. He's done fine without it. He's been managing fine without God in his life. Yes, it's true of him, as it says in Psalm 10, God is not in all his thoughts. He's dependent upon himself, his own resources, and that's how he says, I have enough. And friends, when we listen to Esau this morning, I think that we can understand Esau's reflection. I think we can understand Esau's confession, for we too have lots. And if we compare ourselves to so many other people in this world, then especially in third world countries where they have so little and there are ravages of war, in comparison to them, we also have much. We have lots. Of course, there are some times when we have to deal with setbacks. Sometimes the economy is not so good. But then we say, but we've managed. And sometimes we might even say, if only my parents could see how well I've made it, if only my grandparents could see it, they would say, surely this boy has done something right. And that's how sometimes we see our own children, maybe grown children, they're doing well, and parents, they may say it even to a pastor on a visit, they've done quite well for themselves, and they have such a nice family, and the children, they learn quite well, and then you ask, but do they go to church? They serve the Lord? No, they don't go to church. The service of the Lord doesn't mean anything to them. But they have it good here. But Jesus says a man's life consisteth not in the things, in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. And that's what Esau doesn't know. He doesn't know that trust in the living God. And if we don't know that, then we may have many earthly goods. And we may have a comfortable life and existence here. And we may have much, but what will it profit us if we gain the whole world but lose our own soul? And that's why we can have much and lack one thing. Because we will get sick and we will suffer afflictions and we will die. And we have to leave it all behind. And you can't take it with you. We need something else. What is it? Well, why don't we listen to Jacob and his reflections? For he has everything. That's our second point. Jacob has everything. Yeah, I said it already that for Jacob everything has changed. A new day has dawned for Jacob after that night in which he wrestled with that angel. Then he lost everything because he has become a sinner before God. He said, my name is Jacob. And then the Lord blessed him. Yes, everything has changed for him, and you can tell it in this chapter. His life has changed. And if your life has been changed by the Lord, you'll understand something of Jacob's Thanksgiving Day there in that reunion with his brother. And what can we say about it? Three things. For one thing, it's God-centered. It's God-centered. Three times in these verses, did you notice it? Jacob speaks of God. In verse 5, verse 10, verse 11. Verse 5, in answer to the question of Esau, whose children are these? Then he says, the children which God. God. You see, that's the language of someone who's come to fear the Lord. It's someone who reckons with God. Also in matters of daily life. Everything is a gift of God. Also, the birth of children. Jacob says here really what the psalmist will say later on in Psalm 127. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Yes, children God has given. Also verse 10, where he says that seeing the face of Esau is like seeing the face of God. And he's experienced the favor of God. And And again in verse 11, because God hath dealt graciously with me. You see, Jacob is a man who's been completely reoriented. He cannot even look in the face of his brother Esau, but he sees it in a new light. And so is God-centered in all he says and does. And is that not the fruit of grace? That you're taken up with the Lord. And that in everything of life you're tracing it back to the Lord. To God who... The God who has done everything, and you're not afraid to speak of Him, even as Jacob speaks here to his brother. But he's turned his back on the church. Esau, an apostate. But Jacob says, still, whether he's an apostate or not, I must speak to him about the Lord. And is that what you do too? Is that what marks us? Do we trace everything in our lives back to Him? We say, as Jacob, He's the God who has met me on my way and has had dealings with me. He's the God who makes the sun to rise on the just and on the unjust. He's the God who sends rain in time. He's the God who has caused the corn to grow and who's given us the harvest, as we may see in the fields, the God who daily loadeth us with benefits, the God of Israel who only doeth wondrous things, the God who delivers, the God who sends salvation, the one who gives us days of prosperity and days of adversity. But tracing it back to the Lord, you say He has done all things well. No wonder Jacob says what he says in verse 11. I have enough. And then he uses actually a different word than his brother. It seems in our English translation that Jacob and Esau are using the same word. But they're not. Esau says, I have much. Jacob says, I have all. All. And the person who learns to see God's hand in his life can say that. For that God has by grace become his God. And he who has this God shall lack no good thing. And that's why we can also say that his thanksgiving is not only God-centered, but it's grace-focused. It's grace-focused. It's what Jacob speaks of time and again in this chapter. He uses the word grace some 5 times here. Before Genesis 33, it's been only used 3 times, if I'm not mistaken. But all of a sudden here in 33, it's used left, right, and center. It's you can say, Jacob's refrain in relationship to God and in relationship to Esau. Yes, in relationship to God. He sees that God's gifts are all undeserved. He has forfeited them all. He's a sinner. That sums up his whole life. It's as if he stands here next to the publican who says, I, the sinner. But pointing upward to God, he says, He, the gracious one. He has graciously given these children, verse 5. Verse 11, He hath dealt graciously with me. And that's how he reflects on his past. All the dealings of the Lord have been in grace. His dealings when he met him at Bethel. His dealings at Peniel. Yes, he's made me honest. Yes, he's touched my thigh. Yes, I'm limping now. But even my limping, even my scars are tokens of His grace, His undeserved love and favor in dealing with me. I wonder if you can say that too this morning. Undeserved gifts in your family. undeserved gifts in life, times when he has met you, times when he's humbled you, times when you've begun to confess your sin before him. It speaks of his grace. And the fact that I now have scars in my life and that I'm limping, or that there is a thorn in the flesh, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, yet his grace is sufficient for me. His dealings with me have been in grace, because from my sin I can say with Paul in Romans 5, sin abounded from my side, but from his side grace did much more abound. Have you come to see that with new eyes? Calvin says not many see it. He says scarcely is one in 100 convinced that all he has comes from God's free grace. But Jacob, he sees it with new eyes. And Jacob also speaks of this grace in relationship not only to the Lord, but also in relationship to his brother Esau. He needs not only grace vertically, but also horizontally. He has, after all, been a cheat. He has been a deceiver, and it isn't right what he has done. And, of course, he could have blamed others. He could have blamed his mother. Jacob doesn't do that here. He owns up to his own sin, and to be received by Esau, he needs grace. If I have found grace in thy sight. You see, it's the same question that Peter will later on ask. Peter, in the New Testament, who knew that brothers can offend each other. Maybe Peter could think of a few times in his relationship with his brother Andrew, and Andrew offended him, that he asked the Lord Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother when he offends me? Should I forgive 7 times? And the Lord Jesus says, no, 7 times is not enough. It must be 70 times 7. And that not in order to calculate 490 times, but in order to lose count and to multiply forgiveness. And Jacob realizes that's what Esau needs to extend to him. Forgiveness. That's what Jacob needs in relationship to his brother. And is that not what we need in relationship with one another in our homes, families? We need it as parents in relationship to our children, don't we? Or if we're siblings, there can be this brother rivalry. We need, as brothers, to forgive each other. Maybe we need to ask it of them, maybe for sins that have been 20 years ago or longer. Or we need to turn especially to the Lord and ask him to forgive us our debts. But then as we forgive our debtors, that's how we will know true thanksgiving, if we're God-centered and grace-centered. For we can only receive it by his grace, through the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul will say in Romans 1 verse 5, it's through Christ by whom we have received grace. You see, in having him and having his grace, we have all. Yes, that's why Jacob can say it. I have all. That's also how the Dutch Staff of the Bible has translated it. Esau, you may have much, but I have everything. Not because I have more than you, but because I have received the blessing from above, from the Lord. It's what he had wanted so badly when he was younger. He was willing to trick his brother and to sell him his birthright. Ask him to sell him his birthright. And he was willing to lie to his father. And that was wrong. But now he has received the blessing from God. The blessing of being restored into his favor. The blessing of having the land of promise the seed of promise, the God of promise and grace. And then you may not have as much as others, but if you have Him, then you may have everything. Then you may say with Paul in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Then God looks on me in His grace and mercy, and that means more for Jacob than having 500 or 5,000 herds and flocks. That's everything for Jacob, the Lord. And if He is yours, then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, then all things are yours, for you belong to Christ, and you belong to God, and He can supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And if we have much, but if we miss Him, then the Lord has to say to us, as He says to the Laodiceans, thou sayest that thou art rich, and increased with goods, and of need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Can you have peace with much, but without God and His grace? Therefore I counsel thee to buy of me everything that I have purchased. Yes, Christ is the one who comes into focus here, doesn't He? As the one who had it all, being in the presence of His Father, the cattle upon a thousand hills are His, He became poor. He, that baby in Bethlehem's stall, who had nothing but some rags, and He became poorer yet, and He had no pillow for His head. And He would be stripped of everything to hang on the cross under the wrath of His Father. Yes, He became poor that He, through His poverty, might make poor sinners rich, to give peace and pardon with God. And that's what Jacob may know. And his thanksgiving, thirdly, it's not only God-centered and grace-focused, but it's generous. It's generous. He has sent these gifts to Esau, his brother who has been angry with him. It's the reason why he had to leave the promised land. Now he gives his brother these gifts. Matthew Henry says, maybe a gloomy, ill-natured man would have said in Jacob's case, Esau has sowed my death without a cause, and he shall never be a cent the better for me. But no, Jacob gives. Proverbs 11 verse 24 says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And the next verse, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. It's what Paul said in Acts chapter 20, didn't he? It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's the Lord shaping His people to make them more like Himself, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Is that what marks us? Do we hold on to our goods tightly or lightly? Are we ready to share, to give to others gladly because the Lord has given an abundance to you? Or are we living for ourselves? Jacob has come to know his God as a gracious giver who opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing, who not only has gifts to give in nature, but also in the realm of grace. And that's how he can say, I have all because I have Him. And the Spirit has taken me and joined me to Him. And I've come to embrace Him in that wrestling match so that I couldn't let go of Him. And He has given Himself to me. And because I have Him, then it's not so hard to give to others out of love. What will our thanksgiving be like today? Yeah, how shall we celebrate Thanksgiving today, friends? Shall we say, Lord, We thank thee for the much. Or will we say, Lord, we don't understand it, but having thee, we have all. Will our thanksgiving be like Esau? Or like Jacob? If like Jacob, then we are taken up not so much with the gifts, but the giver. Or will our thanksgiving be focused on the stuff of this earth and ourselves? Look what I've been able to do and amass and accomplish, and not God. How sad to have a thanksgiving like that, to go to eternity like that, to be rich materialistically, and yet so poor. And Esau, the hour of his death, has no one who will go with him, no wife that accompanies him, no animal that he can take along, no advocate with the Father, no grace. And the rich man becomes so poor. Oh, why would we go that way, when in Christ we may have all? And I may preach to you of the Lord, who can take a self-centered and a stuff-centered sinner, and he can transform you by his grace, so that your head is lifted up to him, the giver of all, and you come to plead for mercy from him. And maybe that's what he has begun to do in your life, that you say, Pastor, I have much like Esau. But Pastor, something's changed. I don't understand it all, but I see that with the many things that I have, it will not do. It cannot give me peace. I cannot die with it. I have come to miss everything. And then, yes, I may preach to you a rich Savior for a poor sinner who has everything and who says, Open, saith the Lord, why thy mouth believing? I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. Through him who has all, who made all, but who had to say, I have nothing. I am a worm and no man, in order that sinners might be able to say, In Christ I have everything. And did you know that the Lord loves to give? And he loves to give generously. And in his grace, he loves to give himself. And Jacob will say that later on, when he comes towards the end of his life, and he says, It's the Lord who has shepherded me all my life long. He could say what David would later on say in Psalm 23, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, if this shepherd is yours, you lack nothing. And that's how you might have all, because God, who spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, so that he can give us all things with Christ. Is it faith you need? He can give it. Is it repentance you need? He can give it. Is it everything from the heavenly storehouses? He can give it. And then you may have to go a hard way, dear people of God. And you may lose a lot. Jacob will lose his wife in the next chapter. And Jacob will lose his son Joseph to Egypt. And he'll lose Judah to the world of Canaan. And God's people may go hard ways, and God's people may lose a lot. You may lose your health. You may lose your wealth. You may lose a loved one. But if you have him, you have everything. Then you can say with Jacob, but I have all. Or you can say with Habakkuk, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, even if the field shall yield no meat, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Then you can say with Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations, his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. The Lord is my portion, Jeremiah says. And then you don't need to say it alone. In 1636, there was a German pastor, Martin Rinkart. He is said to have buried 5,000 members in 1 year. The average of 15 members a day. It was because of war and death and economic disaster. And in the heart of that darkness, with people crying outside of his window, filled with fear, he sat down and he wrote this for his children. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. See, thanksgiving depends on his love in Christ, not on the circumstances. Can you sing with Martin Rinkart, or with Jacob, or with Jeremiah, or with Asaph, whom have I, O Lord, but thee on high? Or with David, the Lord is my inheritance. The Lord alone remains. The fullness of my cup of bliss, the Lord my lot maintains. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O most good-doing and gracious Lord, the wonder that in thy love thou dost come to seek and search out lost sinners in order to give thyself away. And that through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that a poor and needy people may have a rich Savior in having thee no want to know. Grant us such a thanksgiving. And if we miss everything, if we miss thee, Lord, show us what we miss and bring us to thee, there to bow and to say it, Lord, I have so much, but I need thee. I need my sins forgiven. I need a new heart, and to find it at the feet of Christ. Be thou our shepherd, and lead us graciously. Pardon our sins in preaching and in listening, and remember us further for good, in Jesus' name. Amen.